Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
Welcome to the Learn Minecraft podcast. Spring is finally in the air. I hope you're all feeling a new wave of creativity as the seasons change. This week, we are joined by Lindsay Vidalski. Lindsay is a mixed media artist from the UK, working on pet portraits and wildlife art. As a former pattern designer, Lindsay's approach to colour and composition shines through in her work, which is known for its realism and colourful palette. In this episode, we chat about creating art with our children, how to reignite our artistic inspiration after creative block, and navigating the world of art business, and so much more. While we talked, we both drew exercise number 19 from the Practice Journal African Wildlife Edition, A Cheetah's Eye. This is all coming up in the show today, so get your materials ready if you're drawing along at home, and let's go. Thank you for joining. I'm very excited to be drawing with you today.
Same here, although a bit nervous too.
That's all right. It's just, it can be nerve-wracking if you haven't been live before, but you know, this is a bit of a fun chat.
Yeah.
So would you like to introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and what you do?
I'm Lindsay, who specializes in pet and wildlife portraits using colored pencils. I'm pretty new to doing it all, to be honest. I only took it up about 2 years ago to realize how far I could go with my art. Before that, I used to just do a lot of digital drawings for fabrics, for children's clothes, and things like that, but I've truly fell in love with colored pencils mainly. But aside from when I'm doing this, I love to try other mediums as well, pastels, acrylic paints, watercolours. I get bored quite quickly, I think. So
yeah.
I often experiment.
Well, that's fantastic. Oh, please tell me more about this pattern design that you used to do.
I think it really spurred on from when I was having my daughter. I was pregnant during the COVID lockdown. And it started, to be honest, I painted a picture for her room and everyone was like, oh, that would look absolutely amazing on fabric. So it just went from there. And I found digital design quite easy to do because I could do it around all my children. And I grew quite a decent following of people that absolutely loved my designs as well. I love sewing. I had a little children's clothing line. I kind of had to stop doing that after a few little things that went on, but won't bore you with that.
That's fantastic. Have you tried doing any of your pattern design in colour pencil then?
I have got a couple, yeah. My very first coloured pencil drawing of a lion cub, I did turn that into a pattern that was pretty popular with a few people. And then since then there's been a couple of designs, a couple that have been done is exclusives for people that they've asked me to draw them.
That's wonderful.
So try to mix it all up a little bit.
So what did you do with your pattern design? Did you like try and go through like a printing website, or what did you do?
I used to have the fabric printed in from a company in Poland, and I used to sell it as the fabric, and then used local companies as well to print the designs to make the children's clothing. I did have a selection of clothes stocked as well in a local shop for a short time.
That's exciting.
Yeah, they ended up closing, unfortunately. I never really found anywhere after that. But to be honest, I've moved on to my art more because it fits in better with my children.
Yes, okay.
And I have to keep my hands busy. I'm always doing something. I don't stop. And it just works for me around them.
No, that's fantastic. Tell me more about how, like, being a mother has sort of affected your art.
I've got two of my children. So I've got four children in total. Two of them, they're quite arty as well. And I love to show them what you can achieve with it and how far you can actually go. And we spend time drawing together as well, which I think recently I've shared a couple of my younger son's drawings. He loves these books.
Yes, you have. I thought he was really good. Like, that's just incredible. I feel like some adults can't even draw that well.
Yeah, I give him a little bit of a help lesson with his initial outlines, give him a bit of guidance, but then he is really good.
Yeah, really good.
They, as children, they just need to learn time. It takes time.
Yes.
It doesn't happen instantly.
Well, especially colour pencil. It's quite a slow medium, really, isn't it?
And they struggle to grasp that one. Mm. They keep saying, well, look at me. I'm spending, like, 2 weeks on the same drawing.
Like, 2 weeks? What?
If I could get it done in a night, that would be amazing, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I feel like that impatience as well.
Yes, it is the slowest medium ever, but I love it. It's so relaxing. It gives me that time to switch my mind off, and I just get stuck into my work.
So how do you carve out time and space for doing your art then?
So now all of them are at school as of September just gone. So I managed to get a couple of hours in every morning once I've dropped them off before I head off to work myself. And then I wait for bedtime. As soon as they're in bed, I'm back with my pencils.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. It's so good to have that sort of discipline.
Yeah. And we've worked our routines on the weekend so that I can get a couple of hours in on a Sunday as well, while their dad's keeping them busy instead.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. So how do you sort of do art with your kids then?
We often have like little arty afternoons when it's school holidays especially. Otherwise computers take over with them. We do anything, drawing, box modelling, painting. They all get involved. My four-year-old loves it as well. She's just... she likes to be a bit more messy.
Yes.
If she can get the paint down, that's better.
Yeah.
But we do have to limit that one.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
my son, whose pictures you've recently seen, he draws every day as well. He comes home from school and he's always drawing. You give him a stack of paper and it's gone within a couple of days every time.
Wow. That's wonderful. What are some of the biggest obstacles that you face when you're trying to do your own art while you're parenting?
The biggest thing for me is I really struggle once I've started a piece. I like to get it finished.
Yeah.
So sometimes switching off from what I'm doing, I do find difficult because obviously, ultimately, it's their needs that come before what I need to do or what I want. So I do find it really difficult to switch off. I think especially with drawing in the evenings as well when they're asleep, it's that line between right now you actually need to have some downtime that's not always busy trying to draw to progress your business.
Or like go to bed at a reasonable hour so you're not exhausted the next day.
Yeah, because we still have to get up.
Yeah. Well, I have that sometimes too. You're just like in the flow and it's like, oh no, it's nearly midnight. Yeah. I better go to bed. I have to get up at like 5.
That's still going to wake you up.
Exactly. No, that's definitely it. And I'm the same as well. Like when I start a picture, I always want to just sit down and finish it, but you can't.
No. You definitely can't.
Yeah.
I'm doing the rhino horn from this book, which I'm doing with my 11-year-old son. And last night. He's been desperate to start it. And I was like, right, we can, but we've literally got 30 minutes, so we can do a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we've got to pack it away because the others need to go to bed. And trying to then be like, oh, no, we'll stop. It was hard. I wanted to carry on. I wanted to finish it.
Yeah. Was he the same as you? Did he want to carry on as well?
Yeah, he did. He didn't get to sleep very easy, so he would have carried on for hours.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when you get into the, like, artistic flow, it's very hard to stop.
Yeah, it really is.
You almost have to tear yourself away, don't you?
And you block everything out around you as well, because you properly get into the zone.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice that you've reached a stage where you can actually draw with these books with your kids as well. That's really nice.
Yeah, it is. I'm a bit like, they keep bending them. I'm like, please don't do that. You need to look after them, though.
Yeah, keep the nice. My pet portrait one is a right state because I've used it so much. Uh-huh. It's just like covered in pastel and pencil and pen. And
they've actually asked for their own, so I think when birthdays come round, purchase them their own ones.
Oh, that's sweet. And then they can slowly go through it.
Yeah.
It'll be lovely. I'd love to see that. You can have like a child edition.
Yes. They totally love it.
Yeah. How do you work around creative blocks then? So say you're just exhausted, like what do you do?
I make myself step away and I'll just go and read or something instead, because like I said before, I don't stop. I don't sit really and do nothing.
Yeah. And you just do something else.
Yeah, or I'll get my sewing machine out or something. I just completely step away from it and just try something else for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would generally help me, because sometimes it's normally would just be the fact that I'm feeling a bit anxious more than anything that's blocking me at that point, which is normally my body just saying, no, stop.
Yeah.
You need a break.
No. Same with me. I do that too. Like, I start drawing something and I'm like, oh, I just don't feel this. Like, it's not going right. I keep picking the wrong colours or doing the wrong thing. Like, you do just have to stop, don't you?
You do. I tore one up a couple of weeks ago because it wasn't going right.
Did it feel nice to tear it up?
Yeah, it did. It was, I was trying to use pastel matte again.
Right.
That's what I started with, but now I draw on Bristol Smooth instead.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love using.
Me too,
but I'm like,
yeah.
I need to keep trying pastel matte, go back to it, and it just wasn't happening. But I have started.
I'm not sure about it either.
I started a kitten on it this week, and so far so good. It's going all right.
Oh, good, good.
And
don't ruin it then.
I like it so far, so I really hope I don't.
No, just leave it. It's fine. It's finished.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for a delivery now. I've ordered some vellum to try as well.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've never tried that, so I don't know how I'll get on with it.
I actually really liked it because I used to use the Winsor & Newton Super Smooth Bristol Board paper for literally like 6 years. I never used anything else. And then I just decided to try the Strathmore because I saw so many artists using it and they seemed to get like a lot more layers down. And I hadn't, before then, I hadn't tried pastel matte. I hadn't tried any textured paper. So I really wanted to stick with smoother paper. So I just got a sheet of, a gummed pad of the Strathmore and tried that. And I really, really love it. I've now converted and I only use Strathmore. So that's
mainly what I use.
Yeah. And I just use the pastel mat for like this, like practicing activities. I'm not confident enough in it to use it for a commission yet.
Yeah. My very first commission was done on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it did come out, it turned out good. I was impressed. But, yeah, it was just something about it. I couldn't keep going with that.
Yeah. I think it definitely depends on your style as an artist. And I think your impatience as well.
Yeah.
Because the ugly stage is so long on pastel matte, even though you can get really beautiful outcomes with it. if you can't wait that long, it's not really for you. No. And that's definitely how I feel about it.
Yeah. I'm doing an acrylic painting at the minute as well, and I'm finding that difficult. Mm-hmm. That's taken a long time to get past looking ugly.
Oh, really?
And that, I'm finding that very frustrating right now.
Oh, I see.
And I've got three of them on the go. They're all personal projects for my daughter's room.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, they're very frustrating.
Did you find having kids, like, sort of reignited some of your creativity and you wanted to try new things more, or have you always had that?
Yeah, I know. I think it did bring it back to life. I always loved my art. I was always drawing as a child. Mm-hmm. But I didn't pursue it after I left school. I went into childcare. And then once I'd worked doing that for a few years and then started having my own children, mm-hmm. I just started doing... I've always done, like, the odd, like, crafty little thing at home. Yeah. And it's just... It's always just grew, to be honest. Because of being at home, I think, with them, mm-hmm. it's given it the opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose had I not had them, I don't really know if I would be as creative as I am. Because it might have pushed me further into my career.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel the same because, you know, I was a full-time artist before having my daughter, and since having her, I've tried so many new things. Like, I've embroidered her little blankets for her dolls, and then I started learning how to crochet and making, like, clothes for her dolls and all that kind of stuff, like stuff I never necessarily would have done before.
Yeah, I think once you've got that creative bit in you, it doesn't take much to bring it back out.
Yeah. No, that's really nice because it's sort of like a side of, you think when you have kids you won't have time to, like, do anything anymore, but actually you sort of do more in a weird way.
You kind of do it with them as well, don't you?
Especially as they get older. I
used to make all my daughter's clothes, so I always used to carve out the time.
Oh yeah.
To do my creative stuff, because I always wanted to win something I'd made.
Yeah, that's lovely. And were they, like, pattern designs that you created as well?
Not the, like, clothing patterns, but she wore a lot of my fabrics.
That's so cool.
And I do like hacking at patterns, so merging a few patterns together to get more of what I want. Mm-hmm. I love her in, like, little vintage dresses and stuff like that.
It's adorable. I've saved so many on my Pinterest that I want to try and make at some point.
The perks of having a girl, I think, because I had three boys before. Once I had her, it's like, yeah, I went full throttle into making everything.
Did you make them anything?
I only started sewing and making clothes when my third son was about 2.5.
Okay.
So he'd have, like, leggings and things like that, but nothing much more than that.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, I haven't attempted actual clothing yet.
It's so fun. Yeah. It's so rewarding when you see them wearing it as well.
Yeah. What do you do about, like, they've just put their new clothes on and now they're covered in paint?
You just have to laugh about it, because I absolutely adore fabrics that are white based. So I have totally had to learn to be like, oh, if she only wears it once, never mind.
Yeah, quickly take the picture before it's ruined.
Yeah. And now she's stuck in school uniform 5 days a week.
Oh. Do you collaborate on any art projects with your kids?
Would I?
Yeah. Would you, or do you?
I think I would, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things are they really into?
The boys, anything boy-y. I keep looking at the screen to look at the picture that I'm drawing.
Yeah.
When the picture's right there.
That's funny. Are you using Strathmore paper today?
Yeah, Strathmore, the Bristol Smooth one, mm-hmm. 300 series.
Mm-hmm.
And pencils are a mixed, well, mostly the polychromos with a few mm-hmm. luminants. I'm still building up my collection.
Mm-hmm. So what got you into trying colour pencils then?
I've always like followed a lot of people on social media and I've always wished I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then be two and a bit years ago, I said to my husband, oh, you need to get me some decent pencils. I really want to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my Lion Club and realised I actually loved it. And mm-hmm. I wasn't too bad. It's not the best. But for a first go,
yeah.
I was pretty impressed that I wasn't as rubbish as I thought I would be.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't really have much self-belief. I've always been
You're an incredible artist. You're very good at detail.
Thank you. I still don't believe in myself. It takes a lot. Yeah. And
it takes time to develop.
My husband gets fed up with me being like, does this look all right at the minute? Am I doing it good enough? He's like, but I can't see it in the same eyes as you do.
No, it is actually useful having that perspective, though, because my husband is my quality control. Like, I ask him to judge my commissions after I think it's finished, and he's always like, oh, you know, maybe it needs a bit more here. And like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, go away.
Yeah.
I need to do some more.
Yeah.
It is helpful to have another pair of eyes sometimes. It's not necessarily because you don't have confidence in yourself. It's just sort of like because you've been staring at the same thing for so long.
Yeah, I'm learning now to put it away for mm-hmm. a day or two and then come back and look at it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Finished,
yeah.
Come back a couple of days later and truly see mm-hmm. if I think it's finished then.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I normally add the odd little tweak.
Yeah.
And there's some pieces I get really fed up with. A lot of my pieces at the minute are personal ones.
Okay.
Because I struggle with social media. I'm not mm-hmm. the best on it. And sometimes I get so frustrated. I'm like, I just want this one done now. It needs to be finished.
Yeah.
But I don't like want to step away from it for too long because you get out of the rhythm of it as well.
Yes, I always find that too. I get distracted with something else and it's like, oh no, it's been like 3 days since I've done this one. I've forgotten what I'm even doing.
Yeah. Glad it's not just me.
Yeah. No, I think it's plenty of people. I think especially when you're a mum as well, because you've got so many other things in your brain.
Yeah.
It's not just this anymore.
No, you're a tab for everyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, you forget everything, don't you?
Mm.
I'm sat here now and remembering something I should have been doing for my kids.
Oh, no.
And that I've not done that. I've been saying I'll do for days.
Oh, it's the same, like, especially if you work from home like I do, like you do sort of think, oh, I need to just put that on to wash or like do that, and it's like, no, just sit here and do your work and then you could do stuff.
Yeah, it's really hard getting on from home because everything's around you, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to physically close the door because we've got like the spare bedroom as the office, so yeah. I have to physically close the door to sort of like mentally go to work. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I'm all right once I've come up to my desk and I've started.
Mm-hmm.
You're not moving me then until it's time to go to my day job.
Yeah.
But once I walk through the door from dropping the kids off, it's like that mental, do I go get straight on or no, I best wash the pots first.
Yeah.
Best put the washing out quickly.
There is always a million reasons why you shouldn't get started yet, isn't it?
Yeah, always. And it's the constant guilt as well, I think,
when
you're trying to work with, you've got your kids, like school holidays, I will get up earlier to get on if I've got a commission on or something then.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that I'm not going to get anything done when they're up. And I'd feel,
how do your kids get up then?
To be honest, they can be quite lazy, so on a school holiday,
that's
about
nice.
Half seven might be the earliest.
Okay,
that one would get up. But when it comes to school day babies, they'd happily sleep till like 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You force them out of bed then. Occasionally one would wake up at like 6, but it's not very often.
Mm. Yeah,
my youngest, who you would think would, is my laziest.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So mornings are sort of better for you then? Is that sort of where you feel like...
On a school holiday, yeah, I could get a couple of hours in if I got up at 5:45, 6 o'clock-ish normally. Because even once they've woken up, they'd let me carry on finishing the last little bit I'm doing or something before they start demanding their breakfast.
Oh, that's good, because I guess everybody's different. I used to be a morning person, and then my daughter liked to get up at 5, and I'm no longer a morning person.
Oh my goodness, is that all the time?
If we're lucky, it can be pushed to 6.
Wow, I'd be a walking zombie.
Well, this is how I feel most of the time. But, you know, that's why I prefer to work in the evenings. I feel like it's the only time I can switch off and just draw. Because I know that, you know, she's not going to wake. She's very good at going to sleep. Like, I put her down and that's it until, like, you know, maybe midnight or something.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that sort of like, you know, lift, or okay, she's happy, she's asleep, now I can like go into the zone and do my work and really get into it.
Yeah,
I don't feel like I can do that during the day. I feel too like mum zone switched on. You know.
Yeah.
But if I do have a deadline, I think my husband does take her out so I can have some time.
How old is she?
She's 3.
Oh,
yeah.
My little girl being 3.
They grow very quickly. It's crazy.
Oh, they do. My eldest is 14 now.
14? Wow.
Yeah. Thankfully, he's not your typical teenager. He's a good lad.
No, it's crazy seeing them grow up, and I'm just so glad that I chose art as a career, because that's why I could stay home and like actually be here while she grows up.
Yeah, it is important.
It's just very
I was able to be home with all mine. I was a stay-at-home mum from when I was pregnant with my second son.
Uh-huh.
So that, I think that's why I've used my creativity to always try and make something of being at home. So I'm still contributing. But then last year I just work at my kid's school as lunchtime supervisor, but I felt like I needed to start being with people as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'd just be a hermit all the time on my own.
It is easy to get sucked in that. That's why I'm really enjoying these lives, because I get to talk to other artists about their lives and what they're doing. Like, it's a very fun social activity while being at home.
Nice. Yeah, because normally I'd just be sat with my headphones in.
Yeah. Do you like to listen to stuff or watch stuff when you're drawing?
I've recently got into listening to audiobooks.
Uh-huh.
So I've always got one of them playing now. I was getting a bit fed up of music. And if I put something on to watch, I actually wouldn't draw. I won't end up watching it. And I find me and my husband, because I work up in my bedroom, I've got a desk, like a corner of the room set up.
Yeah.
He's normally got his programme on, and I watch it through listening to it now.
Oh, okay.
He's watching, because I've got so used to following the stories from audiobooks, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. You never just like, oh, what's just happened? Better watch that now.
Right. So long as I've watched, like, say, the first episode to learn which character's voice is what,
I can
follow it by just listening to it. Ooh. I think we watched the whole Dexter series by me just listening to it.
Oh, really? I love Dexter. That was great.
Yeah, I did love that. Might have to actually watch it properly.
Yeah, I think it's worth watching properly. It's a very good series. I personally have to watch stuff. I feel like music or listening to things isn't enough for me to draw for some reason. Like, I need way more stimulation than that.
Everyone's so different, aren't they?
Which is really interesting because also everyone has different styles and start different ways. Like, we've both started with the eye, but I've gone in and just like, I like to get all of the contrast bits down first. You can't see mine.
No, it's black. It's black at the top.
Oh, that's a shame. I can see yours. Sometimes Instagram does that. Like, it doesn't show you things properly. But yeah,
strange. Have you used some pastels as well?
Yeah, so I used Pam Pastels as my base, just to fill in a couple of black areas. The eye, just sort of get some colors in, because I'm using the Buttercup paper, so it's already yellow basically. I didn't need to put in that many base colors because I'm not starting from white.
You're gonna have a much better finished picture by the end.
Yours is a beautiful eye. Do you like to like do it to completion before you move on?
Sometimes I get fed up of the area I'm working on and will kind of like move around somewhere else and then go back to it, but I enjoy drawing the eyes.
I generally
do finish them first. Eyes and noses.
I do love drawing eyes too, especially like cat eyes. I find them like so fun to draw because there's so many like different colors and details, like humans, I suppose.
I've only done a couple of cat eyes before.
Oh, really? Yeah. What do you mainly draw then?
It's mostly been dogs I've done, to be honest. It's only been dogs I've been commissioned to do so far. I had one cat with the whole fireplace in the background, but it was the back of the cat looking at the fireplace.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely pose.
It was a lovely photo. It was very challenging right before Christmas.
It came out
lovely. I was really pleased with that. I think that's where I really wanted to use pastel matte for that one. Because of all the background, I was planning on doing the background in pastels with the cat and more coloured pencils, but I just couldn't get on with it, so it was all in colour pencils in the end. It took hours.
Yeah, it's useful to sometimes to do backgrounds in pastel. I normally do like my background in pastel, like again base layer it and then still cover it in colour pencil.
Yeah.
Like, it takes longer to do it that way, but it does mean that I don't need to like use as much like fixative or worry about smudging or anything like that, because it's just covered in color pencil anyway. Have you tried Pam pastels?
No, I haven't tried them. I keep looking at them, but they're quite expensive.
They are. That's why I suggest just getting a couple like main colors that you'd always use, like a black and a brown. And just to give it a go, basically. That's what I did. I just got one of their sets because they do them in sets.
Yeah, I think I've put one of them in my basket on Amazon.
Oh, nice.
Already. I've got my little stash of, that's where I save everything that I need to buy, whether I buy it from there in the end or not.
Yeah.
It's like my little notebook of supplies I want to try.
I do find that Jackson's Art Supplies have them cheaper sometimes than on Amazon.
Yes. Got an order on its way now.
Oh, nice.
I've put a note on my door saying, can you just leave it by the door, please? Because it's coming smack bang during this time.
Oh, okay.
But that's the vellum and a few more luminance pencils.
Oh, nice.
They were a tiny bit off, I can't remember how much.
Yeah, it's always good to get them in a sale, isn't it?
Definitely. So I think I've got nearly all of the polychromos now.
Oh, yeah? Just from buying them individually?
Yeah, right. I originally bought one of, I think it was a set of 36 to start with, because I wasn't sure how much I would like them at the time.
Yeah.
And then I've slowly just added to the rest of them from Polychromos.
How do you find them then?
I love the Polychromos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do really like them. But I also love the Luminance for like the blending them together a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them as base layer colours.
The Luminance.
Yeah.
Yeah. They work lovely on the pastel matte, I think, which I'm learning.
Yes, they do. They do. That's what I'm using.
The Polychromos aren't so good on the pastel matte.
No, they're slightly disappointing on the pastel matte. I have to keep reminding myself not to use it until I've got a few more layers down.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But no, the Luminance are really nice on pastel matte.
I'm hoping with... I can't actually remember which ones I've ordered now, what colours. I'm hoping they help enhance my cat portrait that I'm doing.
What are you working on at the moment then?
It's just a cute little kitten. I found the photo on a Facebook group that offers free reference photos.
Oh, okay.
So I really wanted to try and do a cat, a frontal of a cat.
And it's just a practice for you then.
Yeah, it's just a practice with the pastel matte. I really should be working on a few more because I'm hoping to do a market at my local vet camp. They've got something going on in June.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm hoping to draw a German Shepherd for that. I want to do a couple more horse portraits to have on show.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I saw one of your horses. They look beautiful.
That was my first time doing a horse. I'm not massively impressed with it. What? I think I could do better.
I'll give it a go then. But I really like it. I think it's a fantastic start if that's your first time.
Yeah, I think it was the angle the horse was at. It's just obscured it all for me because I didn't really want to put the body into the portrait. But right. I had no choice in the end because it just didn't look right.
Yeah.
But I keep hunting down for another one that I really like. I found a gorgeous reference photo of a horse and a foal, but it needs painting. I wouldn't do it justice in pencils. It just it's screaming out a large
for canvas. A paint. Nice. Yes.
So, that'll be my next paint project, I think, after.
There's an equine version of these out now.
Yeah, I recently saw that you've brought that out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm excited
to
try it. Yeah. I haven't tried it myself yet, so I need to get in that.
I'm definitely interested in trying that as well.
Yeah. I'm really interested in, like, the textures, actually, of, like, all the bridles and the leather and all that kind of stuff.
I think that's what draws me to wanting to draw them as well. It's because it's not just the fur.
Yeah. But, like, all the additional accessory bits.
Yeah. So I think that's why I also like the chimpanzee face in this book when we was messaging.
Yes,
it was a bit different. So I think that's definitely going to be high on my list to draw soon.
Yeah. It's on my list to draw actually as well. I might make it into a tutorial, but it's gonna need longer than an hour, and I want it to give it the attention it needs because it's such a nice reference picture, isn't it?
It is, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, so that's why I think it'll be better just to do an easier one for these lives.
I've just seen the time, like how slow I draw. It's took me 40 minutes to do this so far.
That's all right. It's hard to like stop with these things because I normally like don't carry on and finish them. I normally just leave it as is, like for the podcast.
Oh, do you?
I always try and like finish it within the time, but it's so hard.
That's really good going. And I'm not fast at all.
It's one of the reasons why I created these journals in the first place was really for me to practice because I wanted to be faster and better and try things that I haven't necessarily been commissioned to do. And just practice for myself, really.
They are great because they get you to be able to step out of your comfort zone.
Exactly, yeah.
But the rhino horn started yesterday. I never would have dreamed of trying anything like that.
But you see the picture and you're just like, oh, maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. I normally would just stick to what I know.
And it's easy to do that, isn't it, when you're comfortable?
Yeah, it really is.
But like before having this journal, African Wildlife one, I'd never even like drawn a zebra or a lion or anything before. But 8 years of being an artist and I'd never drawn a lion. It's terrible.
Normally dogs and cats that you draw mostly.
Mostly because I just do the commissions and I rarely had time to do anything else. Which is another reason why I made these reference images so small, because I wanted it to be like little exercises that I could just do in an hour and not worry that it's taking me too long.
The first time I tried to use one, my intention was to set like a timer for an hour.
Yeah.
And I think the first time I did one, I was doing it alongside my kids were drawing and stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
I think I sat there for about 3.5 hours in the end because I couldn't remember.
Did they sit there for that long too?
Oh, no, they didn't. Definitely not for that long.
What practical advice would you give to someone who wants to like start or maintain art as a hobby while they're also parenting?
I think like turning it into something fun by involving your kids helps keep you more accountable for doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's, I think I'm more accountable for doing it because I want my kids to see that you can achieve something. And I've shown them all my older artwork to show them how far you can come if you put the time in and try and have that self-belief. And it's learning to navigate and give yourself some time for yourself as well.
Yeah.
You are a mum, yeah. But you are allowed to be you and do this for you too.
Definitely, yeah. That's what I found.
Does your daughter like to draw with you and stuff?
We don't necessarily draw like this kind of stuff together yet. But we do colour together a lot, paint together. We do a lot of stuff. Like we've done crazy Easter crafts at the moment. I've been on the Pinterest and I've found some cool ideas and they were like, okay, we're doing this one now.
Cool.
She loves it. She's incredibly artistic.
That's really good. I miss that time with my little girl now. She's at school.
Oh yeah.
We don't get as much time to do any of that now. Yeah, we do what we can.
Mine hasn't started school yet, so I'm trying to like soak up all the time I can before she does.
When's her birthday? Like my daughter is at the end of August, so I've like cheated out of a year with her really in my eyes.
Oh really?
She was only 4 or 6 days before she had to start.
Ah, okay. Yeah, my daughter's December 3.
Oh, that's good. My older two were willing to bathe then. And you get so much more time with them. That extra year makes such a difference.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that because I'm a summer baby too. So I was always the youngest in the class.
Yeah, your parents were cheated out of a year with you. My daughter was meant to be born in September as well. So
really?
Yeah. It was gutted when she had to start.
Oh.
But it has given me more time to learn who I am and push myself further.
Especially having 4 children, you must have needed some more you time.
Yeah, my husband, bless him, if he offers to take them out, though, I'm like, but I want to come. I don't want to be.
Yeah, I don't want to miss out. Take me with you.
I need the time at home to get on. Yeah. but I want to come with you too.
Yeah. I'm like that too. He's like, okay, I'll take her out for a couple of hours so you can get on with your work. But I'm like, oh, where are you going?
Make sure it's somewhere boring.
Yeah. That is always like that. You want to join in.
Well, they're like an extension of you, aren't they? They're with us all the time, so it's like they're a part of you. If they're not there, it's like, no.
Yeah. Do you feel like doing your art is helps to manage any stress?
Yeah, I have a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. So it really helps to ground me, gives mm-hmm. my brain time to go quiet. Mm-hmm. From everything mm. else around me. I think I could do it all day every day, because I love the quiet it gives me. Mm-hmm.
What are your sort of goals for your art then? Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
I'd love to say that I've got a diary full of commissions. Mm-hmm. I'd love to always be drawing people's pets and yeah. being able to do more shows. I find it hard to like think about where yeah. I'd be and stuff like that, because I do find social media and trying to crack through really difficult mm-hmm. and knowing the directions to take to help a business grow more. Mm-hmm. And I think because yeah. I don't like putting my face out there much, like this is talking on here, I don't like talking either, so to do voiceover on videos, find it so difficult to think about, but I know that's holding me back.
It's always hard when you haven't done something before, I think, but the more you do it, the more it just becomes normal.
Yeah, see, I feel more comfortable, I'm more relaxed now from there, that I could possibly do the odd live now.
Yeah, that's really good. Even if it's just like this, like they don't see your face, but you're just drawing and chatting about what you're doing. Yeah. Like that's something, you know. I remember my first ever live back in like 2020. I was sweating. I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, what if I like stumble over my words or can't speak? Or I was just terrified. And I was like, I used to go bright red in the face. And because it was like a video like of my face, I was like, oh no, what if I like start sweating everywhere? And it always feels worse than it looks, I have to say, because when I look back at the video, I'm like, oh, I don't even look sweaty, I just felt like I was, you know. Yeah. So it's like, never as bad.
I forget
as
that most of you, like, you've all started and been nervous before, whereas when I look at people's videos, I'm like, oh, but they seem so confident. They must always be confident.
Yeah, no, it's just not like that. Like, I guess some people can be, but most people, you only gain the confidence in anything just by doing it more.
Yeah.
And it's the same with like trying to find clients and marketing your art and doing, you know, practicing different skills. You only gain the confidence just by doing it, you know. And if definitely. You are having trouble with social media, I'd suggest doing more offline marketing, like local marketing, putting posts up and talking to local businesses and all that kind of stuff. It sounds like you've done that before with like getting your clothes in shops and things.
It didn't go too well, that didn't. Like, it was lovely whilst it worked.
Yeah.
The company scammed a lot of artists around here. So a lot of our local artists and stuff now have lost a lot of faith in people because our stock was, they sold our stock and didn't give us our takings after a while.
Well, the good thing with commissions, it's not necessarily like that, is it? It's more like you put a poster up in their window and give them a 10% fee when someone pays.
Yeah.
So you have way more control of it. You're not trying to sell artwork through them. They're just advertising for you.
Streams like that around where you are, or do you solely rely on social media?
I used to do it. I did it a lot with dog walkers.
Yeah.
So I literally, like, back in the day, this is like 5-6 years ago now, I used to message dog walkers on like Gumtree or any sort of dog walking thing and be like, hey, can you give out my business cards to your, you know, employers and dog walkers and I'll give you 10% of if I make any sales.
Yeah.
So that's how I used to do that. And then also like generally at a vet's or a picture framers or anything like that, I used to try and wrangle like a bit of a relationship with them. But I mostly got my commissions through Facebook.
Right, yeah.
And that was from sharing to groups and just chatting to people in groups and building relationships. It's not just like, you know, you share your picture once and then you're flooded with commission requests. It's more like you're building a foundation of trust and relationship building and chatting to people and getting to know people. And, you know, you'll have the odd person that is like, yes, I've just met you, take my money. But most people need more than that. And it is about you just talking to them.
Yeah. So I did a couple of markets before Christmas, and I do love the communication side of
it's nice, isn't it?
My art of people and stuff, but they just weren't the right ones to have gone for.
Yeah, the thing with markets is like it's easy to do a Christmas market because there might be lots of them, but they're not necessarily right. So I would go for like pet shows and dog shows and all that kind of stuff, like specifically for, you know, people looking for pet stuff. But again, they can be a bit more expensive as well. So it's where you want to invest your time.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it's all up to you and how much you can do and how much time and money you can invest in it as well.
Yeah.
I always like to try everything at least once and see if it works out. So I've done a couple of shows and then I decided that it wasn't, even though I did make some sales, it wasn't enough to keep doing it.
But yeah.
Then there are some people that
as well for some of it.
Yeah.
I would much prefer to just work off doing commissions or having my original drawings over needing to have prints done. And
well, I didn't do any of that. I just printed out some examples, put them in frames and then hung them in the store.
Yeah.
And then people could take flyers. I didn't sell anything.
Right.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah.
And I sort of had like an offer, like if they bought then and there, they could have 25% off.
It's good.
As like an incentive to commission me right then and there, or they could go home and think about it, you know. So I didn't actually sell anything that wasn't a commission, which is, you know, an easier way to do it because then you don't have to buy loads of stock.
Yeah, so I made the mistake of buying some stock, and I sold a fraction of it, and now I'm left with it.
Put it on your Etsy.
Yeah. I haven't got an Etsy either. Yes. I did. I'm going to open it back up. I had it for my patterns. Yeah. But the fees were just extortionate.
Yes, they can be. Especially if you do ads on it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was on. Can you turn that off?
Yeah, you can turn it off.
It probably was set up on mine, maybe, because sometimes a pattern would sell and you'd be lucky to be getting £1 from it.
Oh, really?
And then you're paying all your fees again. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Well, maybe your ads was on then, because I don't find it's that extortionate. I find eBay more extortionate.
Have another look again.
Yeah.
Guys, I do want to open it back up for some of my patterns again anyway, because they're just sat on my computer. And like, they're just wasted there. They might as well be on there to be used by some people that want them.
Exactly, that'd be really nice. And did you know that you can link up a Printful account with Etsy now?
All
so
right.
People can buy straight from your Etsy, like say a t-shirt or a print or something, and it would go to Printful and be fulfilled by Printful, and you literally do nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll have to have a look at that one.
Yeah, have a look. It's well worth doing. I only recently set mine up, so now I can sell prints through my Etsy, but I don't do anything. They're not signed prints, they're just prints. But it's incredibly helpful because I was just having too many people from abroad buying my prints, and the shipping fee being just as much as the print itself.
Yeah.
But because Printful like sort of use places within that country that it's been sold, it's so much cheaper for the customer buying it because they don't have to pay like loads of shipping fees, and it's cheaper for you to then sell it.
Yeah. So how do you feel, like there was those new regulations that came in as well, wasn't there?
I haven't personally had any problems at the moment because all I've done is sell books.
Yeah.
And they're not really part of like the thing. I don't think like it hasn't come up.
Yeah.
But it's all very unclear, isn't it?
Does it? It all makes it feel like such a minefield. When I used to have my stuff, my fabric shipped from Poland, it was all like around Brexit, and it just made it so hard.
Yeah,
the customs and everything.
Yeah, all the customs documents.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Even more of a nightmare when I put my phone number in wrong on my first ever order.
Oh no!
And then they wouldn't send it to me.
Oh no!
I had to have it shipped again.
Oh, what a disaster. No, shipping is the worst. I think that's like the worst part of having a business is sorting the shipping. It's such anxiety inducing, isn't it? Especially when it's a commission you've been working on for hours,
and
days. And it's like, oh, please get there in one piece.
No, my first original that I sold, we hand delivered it.
Oh, good. It's good if you can.
It was about an hour away. I was like, yeah, we'll hand deliver that one.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Most of mine have been in America, so it was very scary.
You can't be
once one to...
deliver in there.
No, I can't. I wish. But, and you have to pay for me to come and hand deliver it to you. Thank you. They're like the... I remember once I sent one to a customer. She was a regular customer. So it wasn't too bad, but like she received it and she sent me a picture of like the box, and the box had boot marks all over it.
Funny.
It's like someone had used it as some sort of welcome mat.
Well, they don't care, do they?
Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't framed. It was literally just like mounted in a plastic sleeve. So there was nothing to break, you know? But it was still very scary that that's what the box looked like.
Yeah. It's a shame they can't be more respectful.
Especially when it's got fragile stuck all over it as well.
I think they treat it worse then.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's fragile, but they use it as a welcome mat. But yeah, shipping is the most anxiety-inducing part, I think. I'm always like holding my breath until the customer sends me an email saying, oh, I got it yesterday. Like, oh, great. Thank God. Is it okay? Is it all in one piece?
And how long does it generally take to get to like America?
I always use UPS. They've been the most reliable. I've literally never had an issue ever in like the 6 years I've been using them.
Yeah.
So I would always suggest using UPS for your original drawings. And it takes 3 to 5 days.
That's really good.
Literally. So if I sent it on a Monday, the customer would get it by Friday.
Wow.
So good. Even to Australia, same.
Not for me. Even.
Yeah. And it's all fully tracked. And they're really, really good if anything does like take longer than they expect. They're very good at like contacting you and telling you what's happening. They even can come to your door and pick it up. So you don't even need to go anywhere to drop it off.
That's cool.
Yeah, which I find very useful. Yeah, so I would suggest using UPS.
Oh, our time is nearly up, Lindsay.
I didn't get very far, did I?
It's looking beautiful.
I wonder if I... That gave me the chance to see how far you've come. You've done so much compared to me.
I've just rough. Very rough.
It looks amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. You're amazing too.
Thank you.
You're welcome to continue it after we're done or not.
I will. I won't be able to leave it unfinished.
Well, I would love to see a picture of it when it's finished then. And anybody else, if you've drawn this as well with us, please send me a picture of it when you've done. I would love to share it. And thank you so much for joining me, Lindsay. It's been really lovely to talk to another fellow artist.
It's been amazing.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.